Good morning, friends. It is so lovely to be with you on this very cold, unfortunately, winter morning. I was not expecting it to get cold again, so that was a little bit of a sad realization. But it's sunny. I'm grateful to be here with all of you who braved the weather to come here today. So thank you for being here. I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to worship together this morning and just to be in each other's presence. It's such a gift throughout the week to be able to come to this space. I know sometimes going to church can feel like something that we do every week, but truly, it is really a beautiful thing to be together every week. It's a really beautiful thing to have a space where you belong and that you get to participate in that belonging. God has given us the gift of each other, and that's truly what makes this space so warm and inviting. So let's pray this morning as we get started. I invite you to come into the presence of God in whatever way feels inviting to you, whether that's opening your hands or closing your eyes. We do this together. God, you are our comfort. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us. We invite you to speak to us and guide us in your love today. Thank you for the gift of each other and for the nurture we find within the relationships that you've given to us. We welcome your formation and your guidance. Amen. So this series is called What I Love About the Church. And to me, it's been a really beautiful reminder of what we are invited to be a part of. It has been an encouraging reminder to me of who we are and what we are called to do. I've really loved hearing the stories from each person who has preached about the unique and dynamic ways and reasons that they love the church and being a part of this body. And I feel like they've really connected in an unintentional way. And so I'm really excited to add on to all of the stories that have been shared about why the church is so beloved. Tori, the first week, shared a really beautiful and poetic message about the courageous midwives Shiprah and Puah in Exodus 1, who refused Pharaoh's orders of killing baby boys at birth so an army could not rise up against him. Shiprah and Puah teach us how each of our roles in the body of Christ are inextricably important to the inbreaking of God's good kingdom that stands against oppression and labors on behalf of the marginalized. We all participate in this work of healing and liberating. Whether you know it or not, you do. And this church does too, with different connections with Asia's Hope. And I love that we get to be a part of that. We all get to be a part of this revolution of love and resistance towards brokenness in the world. Thomas shared that we are living stones who face our vulnerability and mortality together. We come together and we realize that our humanness is not a sin, and we get to come together in the midst of our brokenness. As living stones, we become the firm walls that support one another. He said, "The strength of a stone wall or building doesn't depend on the strength of one stone. It is in being built together that the load is shared." Jared shared that he loves the church because it invites us into the possibility of radically reorienting our lives toward faith. And that by joining the church, we join a host of people who have lived lives rooted in faith throughout centuries, in a faith that God is trustworthy to lead us and guide us and guide our life into something that we could never had come up with on our own. A church community is an invitation to live counterculturally, and we learn to trust in the assurance of God's presence and invitation into trusting our whole lives, everything that we love, everyone that we love, into his loving care, just as those who came before us throughout all of the years. Carl last week shared of his love for the church being our identity as the bride of Christ. God's relationship to us is one of a husband and a redeemer. He highlighted how precious we are in the eyes of God. The celebration and the affection that God's love and attention are over us, and that we are such a treasure in God's eyes, which means we get to be that treasure towards one another as well. God's love towards us is cherishing, it's not domineering. God's love evokes our beauty and brings out the best in us to make us whole and desires to give all to us. The church and God's love provide pure and intimate care through one another, knowing both the best and the worst of one another, yet choosing to cherish and nurture regardless. So I do want to offer a disclaimer before I share my message this morning. I'm going to be sharing about the church being like a womb space, and I know that can be a really sensitive topic to people who may have experienced infant loss. So if this is something that, sorry. We have friends who lost their baby this week, so I'm feeling really, really sensitive. So if this is a really sensitive topic for you, I invite you to respond to that in any way that you need. You can step outside or grab a friend to pray for you. But yeah, just wanted to give that disclaimer. So when Jared asked me to preach on what I love about the church, I knew exactly what I wanted to speak about. This season for our family and our church has been one of great transition, of a lot of different changes. We've had to surrender to a lot of different mysteries as things change, as we grow with one another, as we accept change and feel the awkwardness and the uncomfortability of that. And for my husband and I specifically, the mystery that we have experienced during this is bringing life into the world, which has been a really amazing experience that has just completely transformed the way that I see the world. An idea that has fascinated me about the church since personally experiencing the mysteries of pregnancy has been the church being seen and experienced as a womb space. I know that sounds a little weird for people who have maybe never heard this before, so just stick with me. It will hopefully make sense as we go along. So obviously, part of this fascination of the church being a womb came from my experience of pregnancy. And something that really affected me during my pregnancy was just how mysterious every single piece of it was. I remember talking to my spiritual director many, many times about the joys of that mystery and also the anxieties within that mystery. There was so much happening within me that was not able to be seen. It was in this secret, hidden place. And I so desperately wanted to have a picture of what was going on inside of me, which can relate to our experience as formation in general and formation within the church. There's so many different things that are going on around us, and we want to experience this formation, but sometimes we're like, what's happening? Like, is anything happening? So there were so many exciting pieces of the unknown within my pregnancy. Just wondering what my baby's features would look like. We have a biracial family. My husband is Mexican, and I'm very clearly white American. So there were just so many different questions of what's his skin tone going to look like? Is he going to be born with a lot of hair? Which I said he better be, because I had so much acid reflux. And I know that that's a wives' tale, but I was like, this boy better be born with a lot of hair, because I better not have gone through that for nothing. He was born with a lot of hair, so it wasn't for nothing. So I also wondered if he would look more like me. Will he have pale skin, dark hair, light eyes, or more like my husband Luis? Tanned skin, black eyes. Apparently when he was a baby, his eyes were like black and filled up his whole eye. And so he looked, apparently, according to his mom, like kind of scary and demonic. So I'm really glad our baby does not look like that. Sorry, Luis, I love you, but I'm glad he did not inherit that part of you. And I wondered if he would have a nose, if his nose would be like our niece and nephew's nose, which he does. And I wondered if he would have my hands, which he does. His hands look just like mine. And I think that's such a cool picture of just two different things coming together. There was also so much risk in the vulnerability of pregnancy. It was this mystery that filled me with so much wonder and so much joy, the energy to keep going on those days that I couldn't eat anything that I wanted to because of the acid reflux. And these things also filled me with so much anxiety of just not knowing, like, will my baby survive this experience of being in the womb? Will he have a genetic disorder that makes his life difficult. Like, there's just so many different things that are so unknown. Like, am I going to make it through? There's a vulnerability in that too. I think about the parts of my pregnancy that were able to be seen. We were able to do blood tests to check for genetic disorders and to find out the gender. These results gave more information about what could not be seen. I think of my ultrasounds. I was given a glimpse into the hidden, yet the picture still wasn't completely clear. And some of this was because Rio always had his little hand on his face like this when he got our ultrasounds done. So that was another part why I could never see. And it was so frustrating because he'd wait so long to be able to see, and then, yeah, that's another point. I remember feeling so frustrated because I wanted a clearer picture of him. It was an opportunity to see a clearer picture of him, but I still didn't get the full picture. I really wanted to know what was formed inside of me, what was happening, yet the mystery still remained. And I certainly experienced a lot of humbling moments during pregnancy. If any of you were around at the beginning, you knew that I had a lot of morning sickness and I was puking a lot. That was very humbling. And it made me question if I ever wanted to do it again. Because I was like, dear God, does the puking ever stop? And then once that ended, I started having acid reflux. So I was like, all right. I was just being grown and stretched in so many different uncomfortable ways. And mentally, I felt lonely. And I gained a sympathy for people who deal with chronic illness. I had never experienced being so physically uncomfortable and weak for such a long amount of time and so consistently. There was always a sense of uneasiness during my pregnancy, whether it was the physical parts of it or whether it was the mental parts of the anxiety. So as we were nearing the end of this church transition, I was also nearing the end of my pregnancy. I remember feeling this weird connection between the two that I couldn't really explain. And the only thing that I could think of was that God was doing a deep work within our church and our community during this time, and that God wanted to create a womb space within our community. This felt so near to my heart as we were growing and changing as a church and combining two deeply loved communities and desiring to become something new together. There was a lot of uneasiness during that time period, a lot of mystery, a lot of questions and lack of clarity and misunderstanding. Like, there's so many different things that happen within that uneasiness. After experiencing this wonder of the connection between the church transition and between my experience of pregnancy, I discovered that in Orthodox tradition, the church has been compared to a mother or a womb. I felt really encouraged by this thought. It felt parallel to me as I started my journey as a mother and also continued my journey as both a pastor who is now a mom. So today I want to share a little bit of my experience as a mother and to invite you into the mystery of seeing the church as a womb and what that could mean for each of us. There are many places in scripture that express the motherly traits of God. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body." Deuteronomy 32:11 describes God as an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. There's also a scripture that I found when I was researching for this that compared God to a mother bear. Yeah, and God's aggression towards anything that would come after his cubs, which I wanted to admit that, but then I was like, that actually is a really beautiful picture of how fierce love is, how fierce motherly love is, and that God cares for us so fiercely and cares about our protection. Isaiah 66, 10 through 14 says, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knee. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. We see God's motherly nature in Scripture, and we see God come into the world through a womb as well, in the person of Jesus. God, who experienced the risks of pregnancy and childbirth just so that God could be with us. It's a testimony of the lengths that God is willing to go to meet us in our vulnerability. Scott Erickson, in his book Honest Advent, says, his being human affirms our being human. Jesus spent time being formed in a womb, and I think that says a lot about our humanity and our formation, that we all need a space to form us, and that formation takes humility. And just a reminder that humility and humiliation are not the same thing. So this is an excerpt from Scott Erickson's book, Honest Advent. It says, this interior secret is a vulnerable relationship between two individuals. The forming child trusts the mother to provide all it needs, nourishment, rest, energy, protection, so it can be knit together in its wondrous completion. The mother offers herself to the forming child, trusting it will take what it needs to mature into completion while refraining from harming, hurting, depleting her own delicate body of what it needs to survive. Both parties grow together, connected at their vulnerabilities. Both parties take the risk of creating something new together. What does it say about a God who's willing to be this vulnerable with us? Who's willing to come into this world through the statistical risk of childbearing? Who's willing to be attached by a placenta for nourishment and life to its own creation? Who's willing to wait and grow in the human womb? Who's willing to be fearfully and wonderfully made just like we are? Any real connection involves vulnerability because it takes the act of making oneself open to truly be known. God came to us floating in embryonic fluid, slowly forming and taking shape. Embedded in the uterine wall of a Middle Eastern teenage woman, it trusted to care of its fragile knitting process. What it says about a God who's willing to be this vulnerable is that God is willing to open itself up to deeply connect with us. The real question is, are we willing to do the same? If part of God's relationship to us is one of a mother, then the church must be the womb, this place of formation that God has gifted us with. In an article titled, Church is Your Mother, on Christianity Today, says, we receive the gospel through the church just as we receive life through our mother. In many traditions, the word, meaning the preaching of scripture, and sacrament, meaning Eucharist or communion, are said to nourish and feed us just as mothers nourish infants through their very body. Throughout church history, when thinkers, teachers, and saints looked around for a symbol of the church, something that told us of that which was essential, life-giving, glorious, nourishing, vital, and indispensable, they looked to moms and motherhood. We are being born together. Something that is largely prevalent in evangelical culture is the idea of being born again. I'm sure many of you have heard this phrase. This idea was just as prevalent in the scriptures. John 3:4 says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus asked, how can someone be born again when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I'm noticing that I'm running low on time, so I'm going to try to kick it into hyperspeed. But just this idea of being born again paired with salvation and the way that we are pushed to individualism and independence in this country can cause us to live a life that is very individual and live a faith that's very individual, including our experience and ideas of salvation and sin. And there's so many other cultures. My husband's from Mexico, so I've experienced this personally, but so many other cultures that live so communally and also see their faith communally. And that's just not our experience here. We have this opportunity to be in a communal space together, but do we really experience it in a communal way, like deeply communal way? So as I continue talking, I invite you guys to think about like your experience with faith. Has your experience with your faith been one of individualism, or has it been lived out culturally and communally? And how has that affected your experience of the church as a womb space, and how that affects our opportunity to journey together in faith? With this idea of the church being a womb, it presents the experience of being re-wombed together, that we are being born again together, we are in the womb again together as a community, being created and transformed into something together within our formation. I have been thinking a lot about attachment theory, which we've talked a lot about here at CV, as my little boy grows. I'm learning that a baby will naturally begin to self-soothe as it has the opportunity to experience comfort and security of being soothed by its mother. Same thing with independence. A child naturally will become independent as it feels a secure dependence on its caregiver. And when we talk about this idea of attachment to God, it can feel kind of weird because God is this mysterious thing a lot of times in our mind. And how do you form an attachment with something that feels so mysterious and not tangible sometimes? And the truth is, we find that attachment within the relationships that we have with each other, as God works in us and through us within this safe space. We have the opportunity to be woven into the fabric of the DNA of each other's lives. When I was pregnant, I learned that a mother and her baby, the DNA between the two is woven into that mother's like self for forever in some cases. I saw an article that said they did some kind of biopsy on a mother and found her son's cells in her brain, and this mother was 90 years old. And that was just so wild to me, how intimately things can be woven together. They are a part of each other forever, and I feel like we have the opportunity to do the same. My baby is getting to the age where he realizes that he and I are no longer one person, and I'm also trying to process the same. It's really weird to realize that he is not me. He's his own human being. He has his own emotions. He has his own experiences. And that just feels like such an odd thing after being a part of each other for so long. And he's starting to startle at night. He finds it hard to sleep outside of my arms, but he knows that before he even cries out that I'm there. I'm typing this portion of my sermon one-handed as he falls asleep feeding for the second time, because he woke up crying when I set him down in his bassinet. This is a nightly occurrence. Attachment is so important to a child's independence. They can't learn to self-soothe unless they have a healthy attachment and trust for their caretaker. I have the opportunity to be his comfort and his shelter, even outside of the womb. He's starting to explore the world more, but always returns to me and looks to me, knowing that I'm his home and his safe space. I'm always nearby. It's kind of weird right now to not have him strapped to me because this is the norm. He can rely on me to fulfill every need of his, whether it be nourishment when he's hungry, whether it's a hug in the middle of the night when he wakes up scared. As for my experience of the church as a womb, I think of a couple of different things of the way that Central Vineyard particularly has wrapped itself around me and my husband in different seasons we've gone through. We went through a very intense and disappointing immigration process, which also included COVID during that time. And I was traumatized by the disappointment that we experienced. And it caused an anxiety within me that like I felt so intensely that I thought that me getting on a plane to go visit Luis was like me signing my death wish. Like I was fully convinced that the plane was gonna go down. And that was terrifying, a terrifying experience. When my mind was fragile and I couldn't see the truth, this place functioned for me as a body that was groaning on my behalf in prayer. Are the kids ready, Tori? Okay, sorry, I thought I heard them coming down. Yeah. The church became a place of formation and healing for me after working in a church space that overworked me and used me because I was the single young girl who did not have a family and that I had all the time in the world to give to my work. I was forced to play this role as a manipulator while leading a team of volunteers, and it felt like I had to pull people's teeth to do what I needed and wanted them to do. And I remember when I first came to CV 5 years ago, I was really eager and excited to get involved and serve because I felt so safe and so held in this space. For a few months one summer, I was helping with social media and I just couldn't keep up with the commitment because I had another job, there were so many different things going on, I was healing from this church trauma that I had experienced, and I was faced with insecurities because of that, feeling like the church was going to punish me because I couldn't do what I said I was going to do. But instead, I was met in a space of kindness and grace, in the space to grow and heal slowly, however long I needed to. God did a really amazing work caring for me in this community. And now I've been on staff here for just over 2 years. The church became a sanctuary for my husband and I in our grief after we lost our brother-in-law suddenly to a brain aneurysm 2 years ago. And we couldn't be with our family due to immigration constraints. It was a safe space for me to ask God questions and be furious that God didn't answer my prayers of desperation. We had friends in this space come around us and comfort us. And we learned that God does not cause our suffering, but he weeps with us in our deepest sorrows. That not everything happens for a reason, but God's presence with us transcends all circumstances within the care of our relationships in this place. We can relate these ideas to our relationship with the church. Unless we have a healthy attachment and trust towards the church, which is ultimately our relationships with one another, it's hard to grow within the womb that the church can act as. The untruth is a church that is hateful, rejecting, and unnurturing. And unfortunately, many of us have experienced that within the context of churches that we've been a part of. It's really hard to enter into deep community when we've been hurt so badly by a space that is called church. One thing that I've been processing over the past 5 years of being a part of CV is how to trust those around me and working through the question of whether I am setting healthy boundaries or if I'm building walls up to keep people away and to only allow my relationships to have a certain depth to them. It takes a lot of courage to open up and bear your vulnerability to those around you. I feel like as a church, we have the opportunity to become this womb, a place where we can return to God and one another with God as our refuge, our fortress in times of need. We stumble out into the world as a child learning to walk. It's exhilarating and often scary. And then we return to safety, to one another, to the presence of God. We hold each other close, cry tears of joy and sorrow together. We can count on each other to bring a smile to one another's face, a hug or a prayer when we are alone or scared, or a meal when we don't have the energy to nourish ourselves. I'm going to leave you guys with a closing scripture, and then we're going to do some prayer and reflection. The kids are going to be making their ways down, so this is an invitation for parents to go back to the space to pick up their kids and invite them back into worship. Our closing scripture comes from 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9. This is the Message version, and this is a scripture that I held very closely to throughout all of these seasons that I am have been talking about. It says, "Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He's restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. The band can make their way up as well as we go into a time of reflection together. My invitation to all of you is to think about how all of this is affecting you in this moment. What is this stirring up within you as we think about the church as a womb space? Has this been the opposite of your experience of the church? Do you feel this deep need for nurture in your life? Do you feel this need for a body of people that can hold you like that? In what ways can you be a part of offering this nurture to someone else? What would it mean for you to see and embrace our church specifically as a womb? And how would it feel to take on the DNA of our church? How may God be inviting you to both offer this and receive this kind of nurture? This morning, as I spent time in silence, just preparing for the day, I was thinking about how intense the love is between a mother or a parent and their child for something that you created, that your body birthed, that your body took the time to form and nurture. And I was just thinking about how that is God's love towards us. We think about God as a father and sometimes as a mother, but how often do we actually let ourselves feel that kind of love towards ourselves? So that was one thing that I felt as I was preparing. And then the second thing that I felt was I had a really weird dream last night. I had a dream that I was at the beach. It was something that I was really looking forward to. You know, beach usually means vacation, and that means maybe a time of rest, maybe a time of reflection. And in the dream, there was a really large stretch of sand between me and the ocean. So I started towards the ocean, but the water started to become dangerous. So I turned around to head back, but as I was heading back, these giant sinking like holes started to form in the sand, like ginormous just sinking holes that filled with water. And I started to panic and run, but the sinking holes just began to pop up everywhere. And to me, this felt like something that was exciting and sought after that became dangerous. And something that was meant to be good just kept getting taken away. And as I talked to Luis about it, he felt like this ocean or this beach or whatever felt like a place that was once meant for rest, but it became a place full of threat and anxieties. So if this feels relevant to any of you, please come and get